إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Glory, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to begin the review of the subject of the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The methodology of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Ummah, by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And before beginning the review of this topic, I'd just like to summarize the previous topic that we completed yesterday, which is of the utmost importance, and that is the factors or the important essential elements of the reformation of society, the things that are necessary for rectifying the society, Muslim society or otherwise, but especially the Muslim society. What are the elements that are necessary for reformation, reconstruction, improvement, betterment of the Muslim society? And we completed this topic yesterday, where Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, mentioned a number of points of great importance. And that which he started with is the idea that has been agreed upon by the Muslim scholars, and it has been attributed to Imam Malik, the Imam of the people of Medina, rahimahullah. And there were those before him who expressed this idea, and that is that there is nothing that will reform the latter part of this ummah except that which reformed the earlier part of the ummah. Yani, what was the reformation of the early generations of the Muslims? The reformation of the society in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was, what was the means of reformation? It was the establishment of sincere worship of Allah alone, worshipping Allah alone, and avoiding sharing that worship, which is the exclusive right of Allah alone, with anything or anyone other than Him. This is the foundation principle, the core, the essence, yani the most important matter, the establishment of Tawheed and avoiding shirk, along with recognizing and acknowledging the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the model and the example, and following the way that he has left for us, yani establishing the sunnah and avoiding innovation. This is the foundation principle, and this is the starting point of the da'wah, the sincere da'wah, the true da'wah, the correct da'wah of those who want to reform, correct, improve the society. It is based upon this foundation principle of Islam, that is ash-shahadatan, the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. So the Shaykh, he began with this point, that is what reformed the society in the time of the Prophet. The mushriks, the pagan society, corrupt society that he came into, it was reformed by this foundation principle, this fundamental of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And this is the only thing that will reform any society today. After this, the Shaykh, he went on to stress the importance of the commands of Allah and His prohibitions, recognizing, acknowledging, complying with, and calling people to that which Allah has commanded us with and that which He has prohibited us from. And then he said that if this is indeed the greatest foundation and the fundamental principle, but along with that there are other elements that are also of the utmost importance, and from amongst them is calling people, yani from that which Allah has commanded us with, calling people most importantly to the salat and the zakat and siyam and hajj, yani the pillars of Islam. And in addition to that, he also mentioned some other matters. From amongst the other matters that he mentioned of great importance is the enjoining good and forbidding wrong. Al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyi anil munkar. No society will be reformed or rectified unless there are those within that society who enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. And he said in addition to that, islah ذات بين, yani rectifying, making peace between the elements in the society, the Muslim people who have disputes and arguments and differences amongst themselves, reconciling between them, making peace between them. And finally he said that of the great important elements in the end of what he said that are necessary for reformation of the society is that which is found in Surah Al-Asr, and including Iman and Amal al-Salih. He said, yani, because the Iman and Amal al-Salih is for the individual, for yourself. And believing in Allah and doing good deeds is what is going to improve your own self. But after this, for the improvement of the society, there has to be enjoining the truth. Enjoining truth and patience and patience. And this is the way of the prophets, that they were commanded, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to be patient, like the ulul azm of the messengers who were before him. And he was also, in many ayats in the Quran, Mecca and Medina, he was commanded to be patient, and this is essential for whoever wants to be successful in any da'wah, that they have patience in their da'wah and patience with the people, and be kind and lenient and easy with the people, and yani, accept yani, whatever harm comes to them in the course of the da'wah as being yani, something that is essential, that a person be patient with the harm that comes to them. And this is the summary of what the Shaykh rahimahullah said concerning the matters or the elements or the factors for the reformation and rectification, improvement and betterment of the society. Today we want to read yani, a topic that is related to that, and that is, what is the methodology of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Ummah and bringing the Muslims together? And this topic also yani, is of the utmost importance, especially when we consider the division and separation and splitting and confusion and differing that we find amongst the Muslims in the society all over the world, especially in our society, yani where we are living in a non-Muslim society, and the Muslims are a minority, and still we cannot find any coming together amongst the Muslims. So the Shaykh, he said, what is the methodology of Ahl Sunnah? And there are many opinions and views and ways that the people have put forward to unite the Muslims. But what is the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? This is what we want to know. Not the way of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, or the way of other people, crazy people, who have offered all kind of insanity as a means to bring the Muslims together. The Shaykh begins, indeed, all of the praise is for Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness, and we repent to Him. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our evil deeds. He whom Allah guided, there is none to misguide him, and he whom Allah causes to stray, there is no guidance for him. And I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, who is one without partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. Many abundant prayers and peace be upon him, his family, and his companions. We testify that he conveyed the message. Naam, that's a fact. And he discharged the trust that was given to him. He advised the ummah and strove in the path of Allah truthfully until the certainty that his death came to him. He left no good except that he guided the ummah towards it, and he left no evil except that he warned against it. After this, the Shaykh says, the topic of this treatise is a magnificent topic, and it is very great. Every Muslim must give the utmost attention to the actualization, yani the realization, the implementation, the achieving of this noble goal and great objective. It is the unification of the word of the Muslims and uniting their rank, as well as setting in order their disarray and unifying them upon one balanced statement. There is no doubt that every Muslim must give consideration to actualizing this matter and establishing it. However, in order to establish this goal, we find within the arena many proposed solutions, various opinions, and multiple movements, each one of them defining what would be the cure, the successful cure, and the strongest path to unify the word of the Muslims, to consolidate their ranks, and to unite their factions. And many people have offered their proposal and their solution. But what is the correct solution? Yes, there are various solutions. However, the intelligent and clever Muslim refers every matter, including this affair, to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For they are, yani the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the distinguishing factor, and they are the gauge, the measurement, to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, and what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. They are the point of reference in every matter, in every matter, without exception. This is that which is befitting for the Muslim, that he refer the points of dispute and the affairs of differing and its issues, the issues of differing, refer it back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For in them, in the Quran and in the Sunnah, there is the remedy. In them, in the Quran and Sunnah, there is sufficiency. And there is no need after that. What is in the Quran and Sunnah is sufficient. We don't need anything else. We don't need anybody's intellect or philosophy. In them, there is sufficiency in the Quran and Sunnah. It is not permissible for anyone, whoever he may be, to interject his own opinions and to guess or speculate in the presence of clear evidences and radiant signs from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says, evidences from the Book and the Sunnah, warning against separation. Here the Shaykh, he mentions a few matters, a few evidences from the Book and from the Sunnah, from the Quran and Sunnah, that warn us against separation. And after we consider these warnings against separation, how can we then participate actively or passively in the division of the Muslims? How can we participate in it actively or passively? Meaning being an active agent in separating the Muslims, or being a passive agent in allowing it and not being concerned about it. After we have been warned clearly in the Quran and Sunnah. Indeed, explanation of uniting the word of the Muslims and unifying their rank, as well as warning them against splitting and differing, has come in detail with the utmost clarity and the clearest elucidation within the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no resistance, there should be no hesitation for the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the truth and uprightness. There should be no resistance from that which has come within the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. Not from the Ahl Sunnah, maybe from the other people, na'am. They resist, they doubt, they hesitate, they question. But the people of Sunnah, it came to us in the Quran and Sunnah, there's no discussion after that. There's no discussion after that. They follow it wherever it goes, in negation and affirmation. That is, negating that which the Quran and Sunnah negates, and affirming that which the Quran and Sunnah affirms. As Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, stated, نَدُورُ نَدُورُ مَعَ السُنَّةِ حَيْثُ دَارَتْ. Yani, we follow the Sunnah wherever it goes. Whatever it affirms, whatever it negates. These are the Ahl Sunnah in truth, and its true supporters, the Ansar Sunnah in reality, the true supporters and helpers of the Sunnah. They follow the Sunnah wherever it goes. So that which has come within the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they establish it and they enact it in the most perfect and complete manner. That which is not within the Quran and Sunnah, they abandon it and they warn against it with the utmost caution. This is the affair of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of truth, for whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attested to as having victory and salvation. On this basis, it is befitting for us that if we want a solution for this dilemma, which is the separation that has befallen and taken place between the Muslims, then we do not seek for its solution in other than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what is befitting of the Muslim. The occurrence of separation and differing is an affair which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decreed universally, as well as from the perspective of the preordainment, although he is not pleased with it, tabaraka wa ta'ala, legislatively and religiously. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed this separation, splitting, division, differing among the Muslims. He has decreed this in his irada al-qawniya al-qadariya, in his universal will. Meaning that based upon his perfect wisdom, he has decided that this must occur, even though it is something that he is not pleased with in his irada shar'iyya diniyya, and in that which he has legislated and commanded us with in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the Sharia. So there are some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided must happen for wisdom, and for some purpose or some objective, though he is not pleased with it and he doesn't love it. So he has not ordered us, and he has not commanded us. He is not pleased, nor is he loved, with the fact that the people would divide and split and differ. But in his universal will, he has decreed that it will happen for a purpose and for an objective. And this is important for us to understand, that there are many things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed to occur, whether it is sickness or death or trials and tribulations that occur to the people in this world, to the believers as well as the kafirs. And some of those things Allah is not pleased with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with, nor does he love, that people commit sins, that people engage in shirk. He's not pleased with this. But in his universal will, his irada qawniya, qadariya, he has decreed that this will happen. People will disbelieve. People will be mushriks. People will commit sin. But that doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with it. Because in his irada shara'iyya, diniyya, what he has legislated for the people, which includes everything that he loves and is pleased with, but it may not happen. It may not happen. In his irada shara'iyya, diniyya, he has commanded us to be united. He has commanded us to be obedient. He has commanded us to be believers. But yet, some people, they will not accept this, and they will not do it. So there is a difference between what Allah has decreed to happen in his universal will, which includes that which he loves and that which he does not love. There is a difference between that and that which Allah has legislated in his irada shara'iyya, in the sharia. He has legislated, which only includes that which he loves and that which he is pleased with. And the first of them, the universal will, those are things that must occur, even though it includes some things that Allah does not love and he's not pleased with. And the second of them only includes that which Allah loves, though it may not occur. Not everyone is going to comply with that which Allah has legislated. So this is the point that the Shaykh is making here, that the occurrence of separation and differing is an affair which Allah has decreed in his universal will. It must happen. But it doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with it. What Allah is pleased with is that we unite, and that we come together, and that we believe in him, and that we are obedient to him, and that we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the truthful one who has believed, yani as-sadiq al-masduq. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed regarding that it would occur, yani the splitting and separation and differing would occur. He informed us about this before it happened, before it occurred. He said within the authentic hadith, the hadith that is reported by Ibn Majah and others, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَتَفْتَرِقُ عَلَى ثِنْتَيْنِ وَسَبَعِينَ فِرْقَ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً. That indeed, my ummah will be divided into 73
groups or sects, all of them will be in the fire except one. This is information from As-Sadiq Al-Masduq, the one who is truthful and who is believed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who does not speak from his own desire. He is the one who informed us that splitting would occur, and that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decreed and willed it, yani in his universal will. And by way of the decree, yani he decreed it, qawnan wa qadaran, in his universal will. And it will inevitably occur, according to that which he has informed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, within the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَىٰ إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Indeed, he who lives amongst you, and who lives after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will see much differing. Will see much differing. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and others. And likewise, Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is sahih. He who lives amongst you, indeed, verily, certainly, he who lives amongst you, yani, will see much differing. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also mentions that which confirms this point, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. But they will not cease to differ. Yani, differing will continue to exist. This is mentioned in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 118th Ayah. This differing is an affair which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has decreed universally and by way of the preordainment, kawnan wa qadaran. However, he is not pleased with it legislatively or religiously, yani shar'an wa deenan. Allah decreed it in his universal will, therefore it must happen. But it's not something that Allah loves, nor is it something that he is pleased with in his irada, al-shara'iyya, al-deeniyya, and that which he has legislated, and that which he has invited and called the people to. He is not pleased with separation and splitting and differing. When you read the noble Quran, the book of Allah, and the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find within them many texts and abundant proofs, not one or two, many proofs which warn against splitting, mutual abandonment, yani turning away from one another, enmity, hatred, and the like of it. Hence we know from the reports of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from that which we see occurring amongst those who ascribe to Islam, yani amongst the people who say they are Muslims, which is the occurrence of separation and division. We see this occurrence of separation and division and differing, and the occurrence of multiple opinions and methodologies. Everybody has a way that they're offering. Then, yani that which the Prophet informed us would take place, and that which we actually see occurring amongst us, then this emphatically and truthfully calls us to a praiseworthy return to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For in them, as has preceded, there is the cure and there is sufficiency for he whom Allah grants success and he whom Allah enlightens. Separation in the religion of Allah and splitting the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is blameworthy. Allah has criticized it within His book, and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has criticized it within His Sunnah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina farraku dinahum wa kanu shi'a lasta minhum fi shay'in." Verily, those who divide their religion and break up into sects, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have nothing to do with them in the least. Indeed, those who divide their religion and break up into sects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have nothing whatsoever to do with these people. This is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 159th Ayah. And in another recitation or qira'ah of the very same verse, it reads, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَارَقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Verily those who separate from their religion and break up into sects, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have nothing to do with them in the least. Yani, in the reading, the recitation, the qira'ah that is well known to us, it is read, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا. Yani, those who divide their religion. And in this reading, which is also legitimate, the Shaykh, he mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَارَقُوا. Yani, those who separate themselves from their religion. Those who separate or divide their religion, and those who separate themselves from their religion. In both of these readings, the meaning of it is of benefit if you reflect upon it. The Shaykh says this is the recitation of Hamza al-Zayyat and al-Kasai. Yani, from the different qira'at of the Quran, there are certain words that can be read differently. And this is something that is well known in the science of recitation of Quran, the qira'at of the Quran. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani this ayah is informing us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is free of them, free of these people, and they are free from him. They have nothing to do with him. He doesn't have anything to do with them, and they have nothing to do with him. They are not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is not with them. Those who divide their religion, divide it up. And those who separate from their religion, separate themselves from the true deen. And those who oppose it, and those who pursue abundant fitan, yani the things that cause trials and tribulations, fitna, and who pursue their base desires, yani their lower desires, they rather follow their desires than to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to this, you find within the tafsir of this verse the statement of a number of scholars of tafsir that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ, verily those who divide their religion, what is intended by it is the people of innovations and desires from this ummah. In another statement, in a different view, that which is intended, according to some other scholars, that which is intended are the Jews and the Christians, yani those who divide up their religion. And that which is correct, as a number of people of knowledge have mentioned, is that the verse is inclusive of both of these. Yani the people of innovation from this ummah, as well as the Christians and Jews. Both of them are included in the meaning of this ayah. For the Jews and Christians divided their religion, and they also separated from their religion. Meaning they abandoned it, avoided it, departed away from it, and did not adhere to it. And they divided their religion after it was one religion with which they worshipped Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and believed in Him. Yani they divided their religion when it was one religion upon worship of Allah alone, and they deviated. They took divergent religions and various methodologies. Therefore, the verse is inclusive of both meanings. It is an intense prohibition, yani certain definite prohibition, and a severe threat for he who separates his religion and breaks away from it. That the Prophet ﷺ has nothing to do with him at all. Rather, he is free of them and they are free of him. And we'll take a little bit more of what the Shaykh says here before he goes into the solutions. There's a small topic. He says, the command of Allah to his prophets not to separate. The command of Allah to the prophets not to separate. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah and 13th Ayat, شَرَعَ لَكُم مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. That Allah has ordained for you the same deen which He ordained for Nuh alayhi salam, and that which we have inspired in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which we ordained for Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, saying that you should establish the deen and make no divisions in it. Yani what Allah has ordained for us is that which He ordained and commanded Nuh alayhi salam with, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, which is what? The establishment of the deen, and do not separate in it. Yani the prohibition of making divisions in the deen. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Ulul Azm, those prophets and messengers who have firm determination. This is the command of Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and His Sharia, His legislation for His prophets and the messengers of strong will. That is establishment of the deen. Yani establishing the deen in its totality, properly and completely, and not dividing in it. This verse contains the most beneficial solution and the safest remedy to quell the differing and to set in order the disarray. It is establishment of the deen, iqamatul deen. And this establishment of the deen is by way of clinging to the deen which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has commanded them with, and preserving it, sticking to it, adhering to it, and protecting and preserving the deen, guarding it from any corruption or deviation. There is no solution other than this, and there is no remedy except it. In establishing the deen, there lies cutting off of the splitting which the people fall into. This is by way of completely returning to the deen. Completely returning to the deen in its totality. And the Shaykh ends with this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 208th Ayat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, completely, totally, total submission. If some of the people take one aspect from the aspects of the religion and neglect other aspects, and other people do the contrary, taking a different aspect from the aspects of the deen and neglecting the others, there will occur between them disparity, and separation will take place amongst them, as well as trials, splitting and differing. Hence the solution of this problem is by way of iqamat ad-deen, establishing the deen for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah, and adhering to it, yani bringing the whole of the deen in the most complete and holistic manner, as well as truthfully returning to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. And here, yani, we have just a few moments remaining, inshallah. I would like to review quickly the ayat that the Shaykh closed here, this section with a review of this ayat and some of its important meanings from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 208th ayat, and he follows it with the 209th ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. O you who believe, enter into al-Islam, as-Silm, al-Islam, completely, and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتُكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ فَاعْلَمُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And if you slip after the clear evidence have come to you, then know that Allah is Aziz Hakim. Allah is mighty and wise. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di said, this is a command from Allah the Most High to the believers that they must enter fis-silmi kafa, into Islam completely. That means fi jami' shara'i ad-deen, and all of the legislations of this deen, everything that Allah has legislated. Wa la yatruku minha shay'an, and don't leave anything out that Allah has legislated. Wa an la yakunu mimman ittakhadha ilahahu hawahu, and do not be from those who have taken his desires, have taken as a god his desires. Naam. Meaning that his whatever he desires, he complies with whatever his desires call him to, as though his desires are his god. Yani, whenever a command that has been legislated is in agreement with his desires, then he does it. But when a command that Allah has legislated conflicts with his desires, then he abandons it. This is the meaning of taking as a god your desires. Rather, what is obligatory is that your desires must follow and be subject to and compliant with the deen, and that you do everything that you are able to do of what Allah has legislated, of the good, the actions of goodness, that you do all, everything that you're able to do of goodness. And whatever you are unable to do, you're incapable of doing, then you must still hold on to it. That is, by intending to do it, even though you're not able to do it. And in this way, you will reach it by intentions. Because sincere intentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the person who has sincere intention to do something, that even though they are unable to do it, but if they sincerely intend to do it, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, the actions are judged by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and every person will have that which they intended, if the intention is sincere. But they were unable to do it, then they will get the reward for it. So the Shaykh said that you must do everything that you are able to do of khair. And what you are unable to do, then you must still hold fast to it by intending. And by intention, you will reach that matter, even if you are incapable of doing it. And then the Shaykh says, when we came to know that entering into Islam completely and totally, well, this matter is not possible. And we cannot imagine that this is possible except by opposing the ways of Shaitan. You will not enter into Islam completely unless you oppose the way of Shaitan. Therefore, Allah followed this command with this command to enter into Islam completely. He followed with the prohibition, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. That is, in your actions of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, indeed he is for you a clear, open enemy. A clear enemy. He doesn't command you with anything except evil and abominations, filth and corruption, and that which will bring harm to you. And likewise, when we find that the servant must of necessity fall into some error, must slip or slide into some error, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, but if you slip after the clear evidences have come to you, yani after you know with ilm and yaqeen, you know what is right and wrong, and still you slip, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, then know that Allah is Aziz, He is mighty, and He is Hakim, He is all wise. And in these words, know that Allah is mighty and wise, فِيهِ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ الشَّدِيدِ وَالتَّخْوِيفِ مَا يُجَبْ تَرْكَ الزَّلَلِ, that in these words contain a severe threat and that which causes a person to have fear, and that which necessitates that we avoid slipping and sliding after we know يعني, what Allah has commanded and prohibited. For indeed, Allah is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. And this means when the disobedient one disobeys him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aziz. He will overcome and subdue that person with his might and his power. And he will punish that person with that which is necessitated by his wisdom. For indeed, from his wisdom is that he punishes the disobedient ones who commit crimes. So this is where we will stop today, and inshallah, tomorrow bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll continue with the Shaykh's mention of some of the matters that have been clearly outlined in the Quran specifically and in the Sunnah concerning the methodology or the ways or means of uniting the Ummah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment, naam. Surah Al-Baqarah 208, the Shaykh mentioned 208, and in the tafsir we read from the following ayat along with it, 209. Naam. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
The words as usual, I think the believer should fear those words. What was that?
He said these words contain a severe threat. And that which should cause fear to a person, that Allah is Aziz, He is mighty, He has great power, He has the ability to punish you if you do that which is displeasing to Him. And He is Hakim, meaning that His actions are based upon wisdom. He's not reckless, He's not unjust, it's based upon wisdom. But His wisdom necessitates that the one who disobeys Him be punished. That's why He gave us commands and prohibitions. So whoever knows that Allah is mighty and able to punish, to subdue the one who is disobedient to Him, and that His wisdom necessitates. Yani, what would be the benefit of prohibiting the people from things if He's not going to punish them? Why? Who would then worry about disobeying Allah? So His wisdom necessitates that those who disobey Him, that He punish them. And Allah can forgive whoever He wills. But a person should expect that they are going to be punished. And if Allah forgives them, then that's His right to forgive whoever He wills. Naam. Alaykum salam.
You travel in a lot of towns for a while, and you go to a masjid, and they ain't on the sunnah. And you go to that masjid, attendedly, or hold back off and stay home.
No, you don't do your thing. You follow the sunnah of the Prophet. The praying at home is not from the sunnah of the Prophet. That's not from this deen. The Prophet has not given us any example of praying at home. He didn't give us that example. That's not from the deen of Allah. It's not from the sunnah of the Prophet. Praying at home. Praying at home is for the women. Praying at home is for children. Praying at home is for the people who can't get to a masjid. That's not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, if you go to a place, wherever you may be, traveling or otherwise, and the masjid, the people in that masjid are not upon the sunnah, then you, unless those people's deviation is kufr, that means they're going out of Islam, then of course you shouldn't pray with them, if they're kafirs. But if they're Muslims who have some deviation, and they're still Muslims, then you can pray with them. The prayer is valid, and it's better for you to pray in jama'ah than for you to pray at home. Praying at home is not legislated, except the person who can't get to the jama'ah. Naam. Wa alaykum salam.
You said there are some things like separation that Allah has decreed, but He must choose it. So in that sense, decrees mean just write it or command. Others think that decree means that you command something, and that's what has to happen. But they say there is things that He decreed.
Yeah, this matter really requires some attention and focus, okay? And it is that which is confirmed in the Quran, in many ayats in the Quran, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, what Allah has decreed to happen, definitely will happen. There's no doubt about it. We know this. When Allah decrees something, it's going to happen. His decree means that He knows that thing is going to happen. And He ordered the pen to write everything that is going to happen until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it is recorded. Naam. And nothing happens except that it is subject to the will of Allah. It is in accordance with Allah's will. And then He brings it into existence. But it being in accordance with His will, this is the point that perhaps needs clarification here. Allah knew it's going to happen, and He recorded it. And it's going to happen as He willed it to happen. But His will is of two types. The will of Allah is of two types. There's one will, it is called, the scholars of the Sunnah say, Al-Irada, Al-Kawniya, Al-Qadariya. That means, it includes everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew would happen, and it might, and it will happen, it must happen, it will occur, as He knew it would happen. However, it includes some things that Allah is pleased with, that He loves, and that He commanded the people to do, like making salat, or giving zakat, or being truthful, or helping the poor and needy. These are things that Allah loves, and He's pleased with, and He has commanded us, He has legislated for it to happen. It includes that, but it also includes things that Allah does not love, and Allah is not pleased with. But He wills it to happen for a reason. There is some purpose, some objective. There is a purpose, there is an objective for people getting sick, for someone being killed. There's a reason for that. That Allah didn't allow that to happen without some purpose, some objective. Okay? And what's obvious from it is that from the purpose or the objective or the wisdom of these things happening is that they are a test for the people in this world. People will be tested by this. People will be tested by sickness. People will be tested by death. People will be tested by poverty. People will be tested by wealth. People will be tested by power. These are tests for the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom decreed that these tests would occur in this world. It has to happen. There's a purpose for it. There's an objective. The obvious, yani the thing that is obvious in it, is that people will be tested by these things. Whether it is good or whether it is evil. Whether it is the things that we like or the things that we don't like. We'll be tested by them. And these things must happen. In this world is the testing ground for the people. The people must be tested. So that Allah will make manifest. So He will make manifest. So it will be clear to everyone after they had the chance to do right and they chose to do right or to do wrong. It will become clear why they will end up in the paradise or in the hellfire. Nobody will be able to say, why am I in the hellfire? It will become clear. Allah will make it manifest. He already knows who's going to be in the paradise and the hellfire, but He will make it manifest by testing the people, by calling the people to good and enjoining good and offering reward for those who do good, and likewise for evil, warning people against evil, prohibiting evil, and threatening the people with punishment for evil, and that will be a test. Who will follow? Who will comply with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and that which Allah loves? So this is from, yani these things that happen will include something that Allah loves and is pleased with, as well as that which Allah does not love and is not pleased with, but He wills that it must happen and it must occur for some reason. And there may be many reasons that we don't know. But what is clear to us from amongst those reasons is that we'll be tested in this world. These things must happen. That's Allah's universal will. The things that must happen, which include that which He loves and that which He doesn't love. Now there's a different will, that which Allah has commanded us with. His irada shara'iyya, deeniyya. That which Allah has made as the deen for the people to follow. That which He has legislated, He has made, yeah, and He has commanded and prohibited us. These things, okay? And this will includes only that which Allah loves. And only that which Allah is pleased with. But it may or may not occur. Okay, that's the difference. The irada qawniya, it must happen. And it may include what Allah loves or He doesn't love. But irada shara'iyya, what Allah has legislated, it only includes what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with, but it may or may not happen. Some people may comply with that, with what Allah has legislated, what He has commanded and prohibited. And some people may not comply with it. They will not follow it. They will not do it. So this is irada shara'iyya, what Allah has legislated. That means what Allah loves and what He is pleased with. And we have to distinguish between the two. What Allah has commanded us with, that's His irada shara'iyya, what He legislated. But the people might comply and they might not comply. It may happen or it may not happen. That's different. We don't say that Allah has commanded us to split and divide and differ. No. Rather, He has commanded us not to split and not to divide and not differ. In His legislative will, He has commanded us not to split and not to divide, and not to differ. But in His universal will, based upon His wisdom, He has decreed that this will happen. It will happen. People will be tested by division and by differing and by splitting. May Allah protect us from this. And the Shaykh, and what follows, he gives us, yani from the Quran and from the Sunnah, the causes or the reasons or the means that are the way of Ahlul Sunnah to bring about the unity of the Muslims and to eliminate splitting and division and differing. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.